Matthew chapter 13, of course, this is a very familiar chapter in the Bible. It contains a lot of parables regarding the kingdom of heaven. And tonight, we're going to focus on one of them in particular. I was recently asked a question in the forum. Some of these sermons, as I studied to do these questions, I thought, why not combine what people are asking about with messages, because I'm expounding on the Word of God. So I'm actually killing two birds with one stone, and I like that. I like that kind of efficiency. But Matthew chapter 13, we will read verse 44 because it's very similar in nature. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The pearl of great price. The question is, what is the pearl of great price? And we hope to answer that tonight. Now, this parable is very similar to the one stated right before it in verse 44 regarding the treasure hid in the field. Both parables are similar in the sense that they declare that a specific individual who sought and found something so valuable, he sold all that he had in order to purchase it. Now, in the first, it was the treasure that was hid in the field. And in the second, it was the one pearl of great price. Now, there are really two lines of thought. Many believe, and I'm going to deal with the one that I don't believe is the right interpretation first. To be fair, there's a lot of good and godly men that differ on in their interpretations of the parable of the pearl of great price. And as I studied, I could see how many would come to the conclusion that this parable is speaking of a believer who gives everything he has to know and to follow Christ. There are passages that would tend to come to that conclusion. For example, one of my favorite passages, if you'll turn there, Philippians chapter 3. I think this is one of the most spiritual declarations of godly living and sold out Christian living in the entire Bible, in the entire New Testament. Paul the Apostle says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." This is a declaration of somebody who's saying, "I've given everything that I may win Christ. I'm willing to lose everything that I may win Christ and know Him and follow Him and walk in His ways." And certainly, Jesus is to be valued above everything else in the world. He is the one who was altogether lovely. He is the one, the just one, the holy one, the one that we're called to follow. Later on in the chapter, Paul said, he talks about following the Lord in such a powerful way. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That should be our aim, is continually reaching forward, desiring to be less conformed to this world, more conformed to Jesus Christ. And Jesus even intimated that a believer in Christ must be willing to sacrifice self and the things that he holds dearest to be a disciple. Jesus said, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He's not saying you shouldn't love your father and your mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments. To honor them, to love them, to cherish them. But he's saying, I am of the utmost importance. I'm the Savior. I'm the Lord. I'm the King. You're to be devoted to me above all others. And that's, he's making that comparison. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus is clearly saying he is to come first, even before the nearest and dearest relatives that you have. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, that's Matthew 10:37 through 39, and a very similar passage in chapter 16 and verse 24, when Jesus then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Primary teaching here is that Christ is the most important thing. And knowing Him and the free pardon of sin, salvation in Him, following Him, the single most important thing in a believer's life. So that teaching is set forth in a similar way in the Pearl of Great Price. Now, I read a lot of commentators. C.H. Spurgeon. Oh, I love reading C.H. Spurgeon. J.C. Ryle. Those are, you know, some folks in the 1800s. John MacArthur, more contemporary. They all hold to some semblance of this view regarding the Pearl of Great Price being Jesus Christ. Well, I can see some of their points, but my problem lies chiefly here in the idea of a sinner seeking Christ and seeing His value above all others. That application certainly can't be made when you consider the natural state of man. Man, by nature, is not seeking Christ. Man, by nature, does not. He is without hope, without God in the world. He's walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the condition of every lost man. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone astray. They're together become unprofitable. There is none good, no, not one. Not only that, but the natural man is blinded. By the God of this world, he cannot see or appreciate or even desire the glories of Christ. He does not see the value of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus until the Holy Spirit gives him spiritual life. And that moment, he's changed. The fact is, It says that he saw the pearl of great price and sold all that he had to buy it. Okay? Well, Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected of men. So that's where, in my mind, that interpretation of the parable breaks down. Also, salvation is nowhere in any shape or form ever said to be something that a sinner can buy. Now, I know there's a passage you're thinking of in Isaiah 55, but it says, come buy without money and without price. We didn't pay any price for Jesus Christ. He paid the entire price for our redemption. So, I think that's where the parable breaks down. Now, I do believe that when you're saved, your all is to be dedicated to Christ. Just like Paul the Apostle said. Now, there's two men that I really greatly value. You say, well, do you always follow the writings of men? No, but I do value godly counsel. Two commentators, two preachers, I guess, that I always, if I come to a rough patch, I'm going to see what Brother Cockrell said about it. And I'm going to see what John Gill said about it. I've been doing this for almost 42 and a half years. Brother Cockrell, in his outlines on Matthew, gave several good reasons that I agree with. And I had already believed before I ran across his commentary. And it led me to believe that the merchant who sold all to obtain the pearl of great price has to do with Christ giving His precious life, His blood, His all to redeem His elect who are one in Him. The family of God is that one pearl of great price. It consists of everyone who will ever be saved. As a whole, it is the family of God. It is a pearl of great price in the eyes of Christ. He valued that pearl so much, He gave everything that He had in order to redeem it. The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ has been set upon His elect who are chosen in Him from all eternity. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He loved us with an everlasting love when He entered into covenant with the Father and agreed to be surety, to be substitute, to be the very Son of God who would come and take upon Himself human nature to redeem those that the Father had given Him. This was in His heart from before the world began. Before anything ever existed. And He left the glories of the heavenly land. He left really everything that was glorious and infinite and powerful and the adoration of angels. He literally gave everything. He gave up everything to become a man. Now, He did not lose His divinity, but He did veil it when He became man. In the sense that He was God and man in a hypostatic union. But He left that heavenly land to identify with and save those that the Father had given Him in the covenant of grace. And as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, He knew that He would have to give His all, His life, His blood, His merits, His righteousness, body and soul. He had to give everything to redeem His people from their sins. And it It amazes me, knowing what I am, that I'm part of that pearl that Christ considered to be so valuable that He was willing to leave the glories of heaven, to face the scorn, the mockery, the hatred, the rejection of men, to have no sin of His own, but be willing to go and die for the sins of those He came to save. Jesus surrendered everything so that you and I could be saved. He loved His people so much, He was willing to purchase them with the ransom price of His own blood, His own precious blood. His willingness to come and die proves how much He valued each and every one of His elect. He considered them His purchased possession that led Him to offer His life and blood on their behalf. This should humble us. This should cause us every day to have sincere motivation and desire to serve the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. We owe everything to Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich. Where would you be tonight if Christ would have never enriched you out of His treasure house of grace? If He would have never opened up the grace of God and gave you His righteousness and brought you into relationship with the Father, where would you be? You'd be on the road to hell and condemnation. The pearl of great price represents sinners that make up the family of God. We're considered one in Christ Jesus. We were chosen in Him before the world began. Jesus prayed in His high priestly prayer that we might be one with Him and with the Father and with one another in John 17. And then you think about the idea of a pearl. Pearls are found in the depths of the sea, buried in muck and mire, within the shell of an oyster that is uncomely to look upon. Oysters are ugly. They taste good, though. I love oysters. In fact, if my dad's watching tonight, I hope he's got some next time I come down. He'll have. Last time I was down, he had a big batch fried up. I shouldn't have said that in this sermon, though. But think about this. We were in the muck and the mire. We were uncomely, unlovely, unlovable. Oysters stink, too. Our Lord was willing to seek and to save His elect, even though they were buried in the mire of their own sins and unable to save themselves. And Jesus makes something that was once so repulsive to God beautiful in His sight by the power of His cleansing blood. Jesus was able to take something that was so nasty and vile, and through the cleansing power of His blood, something as precious and beautiful as a pearl. The pearl of great price. How wonderful it is to know that I've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Since He has paid such a great ransom price, I can rest assured I'll never be lost or forsaken. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. Now, that's the one pearl. But I could also see an application. A smaller congregation, if you will. There could be an application made to Christ loving His church and giving Himself for it. Because that's stated in Ephesians chapter 5. But I do think the primary interpretation is concerning His elect and not just members of His kind of churches. That would be a much smaller number of individuals. And I'll close with the observation of John Gill. He wrote this in 1737. This parable may be understood of Christ seeking, finding, and purchasing His elect. For certain it is that He has sought after them, which implies that they were lost and going astray, expresses His great love to them, value for them, and desire after them, in doing which He took much pains and used much diligence. And certain it also is that He finds them in redemption and in effectual vocation, and that they are to Him a pearl of great price, as very precious to God, so highly esteemed of by Christ as His portion, His inheritance, and His jewels. He has also parted with all that He had for the sake of these persons. He became poor, emptied Himself of everything, even gave Himself a ransom for them, and so made a purchase of them with the price of His own blood.